Because he lives in our hearts. Oh, what a blessing. What a privilege. And it's just so good to know this. Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25 says this. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're living in a unique time in history. Things are changing. This is not a time for revolution or civil insurrection or civil disobedience. It's a time for return to the principles of God. It's a time to return to genuine Christian living. Over 400 years ago, men and women, families, were being persecuted across Europe. The main persecutor was actually the Catholic Church. And for that reason, they fled Europe and they came to a new land, a land they didn't know what was there. They didn't know whether it would be friendly or hard to get by, and many of them died. But they came here so that they could have the freedom of conscience to worship God according to what they believed the Bible told them. Today, this morning, we're exercising some of the liberties that they earned for us. They met together, men of character, men of faith. They met. They tried to organize. And out of that, and I believe that God had a hand in it being given, came the Constitution of the United States of America. And for over 230 years, that document has guided many of us, not all of us, but many of us. And that was not enough. They knew there were still things that were missing, and so they added to the Constitution a Bill of Rights. And let me read what that first. The Bill of Rights, the first right that it gave us was the right to worship without government interference. And folks, when this coronavirus hit, churches, God's very practical. We didn't know what we were dealing with. We didn't know if we were dealing with a pandemic that was going to be very lethal across the nation, more lethal than anything we'd ever seen. There have been epidemics like that where millions have died. But once they got a handle on what this thing was and how it was spreading, we're meeting here today because it's the right thing to do. And over this 6 weeks, I've had a chance to contemplate, talk to the Lord, and seek counsel. I don't think that we should ever have to close our church again. I think we should meet here if it's possible for us to get here. So I just want to share that with you. We came this morning, you came this morning to worship God. part of that worship is fellowship. And it has been so good. AB and I, and one time Tim and I, did the messages each week. And I would sit here, and I would look at empty chairs, no faces, and other than the ugly face at the back. And but this is different. We're family. And we're to interact with each other. So we came to worship God, and we're going to worship God this morning. I do want to make you aware of a couple things before we do that. We are experiencing, we have an enemy. I've been telling you that for years. We have an enemy, and we do. His name's the devil, Satan. He does not want God's will done. God's will is that none should perish, and in order to do that, he commissioned the church at the day of Pentecost, and the church ever since then has been in the business of spreading the gospel. And that's what we need to do. There are certain political parties that have exercised an attempt to take over, to get rid of the Constitution. And in order to do that, they have to get rid of Christians. And in order to do that, they have to have gun control. I don't know what that says. I guess Obama referred to the Christians with their guns and their Bibles. But you see, their goal is a one-world government, a borderless nation, and everyone wanting to do whatever they want to do. That won't work. And that's not the way God intended this country to be. So we must realize that there is a name for that enemy. It's called progressives. It's not a particular party, political party. All the parties are involved. It's individuals within the parties that have this philosophy of doing away with what has worked for over 200 years. So we need to be prayerfully vigilant that we do not succumb to the will of that group. God's a very practical God, and he's given us his written word so that we have a guide for every occasion. We here at Coastal Shores Baptist Church believe that this book, the Bible, is our guide. We believe we're supposed to do what it says. And so we're going to have to, for a few weeks, check temperatures when you come in to be decently and in order, that we don't make any of our brothers and sisters ill. And if you are not comfortable without a mask, come with a mask. We know you're not here to hold us up, okay? And unless you display a gun, okay? So we're just glad to have you here this morning. We really are. Since we're exercising our constitutionally guaranteed liberty to worship God in the way that our consciences tell us to, we need to think about what Jesus anticipated. He knew there would be times like this. And he didn't bring a placard out and march in front of a place, you know, and wearing sandwich board or whatever you call them. He made statements. Sometimes it was just one line. But it was so appropriate. We didn't see it as how it would apply to us today, but it does. 10 days before the day of Pentecost, Jesus did something. Nobody understood what he was doing. His disciples did not understand it. He did. Turn to Acts, first chapter of the book of Acts. We're interested in two verses, verses 8 and verses 9. Jesus was going to heaven. He was leaving the earth. He had already had his ministry here. But he made a statement to his disciples, to those who were following him. And it was quite a crowd. He said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Many of us are looking for him to come back the same way, with a cloud. The disciples did not understand the commission as he gave it to them that day. We also have the giving of the Great Commission recorded in Matthew 28. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, when Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. It's because he's here with us this morning that we meet here today. Why must we meet? Well, let's go back to basics. If we go back to the first commandment in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 3 through 6, let me read that. Exodus 20, 3 through 6. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." We're meeting here this morning because we are to have no other gods before our God. Other gods such as man, circumstance, coronavirus, government, people are placing these things in the place of God. God has to be first. I know he is in your lives. I'm so glad for that. And he will not fail you. He will meet your needs, irregardless of what they are. You know, you didn't seek God. God sought you. You didn't go chasing after him. You didn't call him. He called you. There was a time when the Holy Spirit touched your heart and brought conviction that you had a need for the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life. I think we have an amplifier going bad or something. And so folks just will put up with it. The next thing, next verse I'd like to share with you is a verse from Ecclesiastes. Solomon was a very wise man. Remember what he asked God for? He wanted wisdom. And God gave it to him. Now, we want wisdom. I want wisdom. But let's look at the end of things. How did Solomon close out his life? Not with wisdom, with lust, with desire, with appetites, illicit. But during the time when he was exercising wisdom, he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And in chapter 12, last chapter in the book, verses 13 and 14, he tells us something. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Our duty is to worship him. That's the end of everything. Now, can we worship from someplace other than our church building? Yes, we can. Many of you did. But there's a reason why we are to come here to worship. And it's not because this building is anything special. It's because here we can fellowship, we can in the presence of one another. As we come together, it is more strength of the Holy Spirit. Each one of you having the Holy Spirit living in your hearts. As we come together, it's like putting a bundle of sticks together. It gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And we have strength in each other. I don't have strength without you. You don't have strength without the people in this room. And the more people that are in this room, the more strength we have. And that's why we come here and meet together. Because of the love, the encouragement. And that's what God expects. That's why Paul wrote in Hebrews about, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And we have to be present to be exhorted. As you see the day approaching, I believe that the day of God, of Jesus coming back for his church is so close. I really do. And so we don't have a whole lot of time to do what God wants us to do. That's one of the reasons we'll meet on Wednesday night to discuss some of the opportunities that we have. It's exciting, folks. There are so many different ways to reach out. We've got brothers and sisters all around the world that we can help feed when they're starving, and we have. We've got brothers and sisters here within this country that suffer difficulties, tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, and we have an opportunity to minister to them directly in mission outreach. Anyway, be here Wednesday night. This is going to be you're going to see some exciting things, I hope. What kind of a thing takes place in Bible study and in worship services? Where corporate worship directs all of our hearts toward the same relationship with God. We've been successful is a local body of believers because we have experienced the same new birth, have received the same Holy Spirit, are listening to the same Holy Spirit, and we are a unit. We are a family. I'm interested in your welfare. I believe you're interested in mine. I heard you express condolences to Connie for her face plant. We love each other. When you have problems, when Faye had to have that hip replaced, we were praying for all of us because we love her, because she's a part of our family. And we are reaching out. You don't know, but we have reached out to over 500 families in this area in the last 2 months, letting them know about the church being here. Monday there will be a mail out going out to 252 of them, isn't it? What it was? I think it was 252. We haven't seen any fruit yet, but we're reaching out to them because of this corona thing. And so we want to reach out into our community and minister to them more. We don't meet here to serve ourselves, but we meet to corporately worship God and grow in knowledge and an understanding of what He wants from each one of us. 200 years ago, men were seeking freedom to express their beliefs. And it was the churches that led this nation into the revolution. You realize that the militias were the men of the churches. Each church formed its own militia, military unit. The pastor became the leader. They are the ones who did battle. They are the ones who supported George Washington. It was the militias, the churches, people who believed the Bible. We don't have to fight that kind of a battle again. But we do have battles to fight. We have opportunities to advance the cause of Christ. And without our putting forth an effort, it won't happen. God has a purpose for this group. I believe that. I believe that God wants to use each one of you to reach out to someone in the community. Now, the devil, we know, is the father of lies, and his children are all liars. We must be alert to the falsehood and the deceit being presented as fact and truth. We've been deceived, folks. We've been deceived by people who shouldn't deceive us, but they do. Jesus told his disciples what to do during his ministry. In Matthew 10:16, he told his disciples this. He said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves." And folks, it's come to the time when we need to be wise. And that means that we need to meet here. That means we need to do Bible study here. It means we need to sing hymns and rejoice in the resurrection of our Jesus, of our Lord Jesus Christ. It also means that we need to sing hymns that glorify God. Hymns that have a message of how we love Him and how He has loved us. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Do you remember when Jesus was involved in His ministry and the political and religious leaders sought to trip Him up so that they could either have Him discredited or put Him to death? And they thought they would find a way to trick him. And so they approached him and they asked him the question, should we pay taxes? You remember his reply? It was one that they couldn't answer to. Luke 20:25 is the reply he gave. And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. Near the beginning of the statement, this message, I made the statement that this is not a time for rebellion or civil disobedience. This is a time for worshiping and pleasing and following God. And people, we're going to do that. We're going to do that regularly. We're going to do that on the schedule that he moved us to set up. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And one of the other things that you folks showed me in these 6 weeks is that we need more fellowship. Some of you got together to listen to the messages. That was great. That's fellowship. We need more time with each other. We do. So we will work towards that. What position do we take? I'm going to go just a few minutes over, A.B. What position do we take as a church to what Paul wrote to the Roman church in chapter 13? Turn to Romans 13, if you will, please. Romans chapter 13. And Paul addressed the issue of church authority relationships. Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. That's pretty straightforward. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. I believe that. I hope you believe that. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to those for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. He is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now, look at verse 5. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath to the authorities, but also for conscience sake. And suddenly we have something in this passage that supersedes governmental authority. We have the authority of God in our consciences. We are to do what God teaches us, what God leads us to do, over and above the authorities of government. Then verse 6, for this cause pay ye tribute, taxes, and etc. For they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Then verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute, that would be taxes. Custom to whom custom, that would be honor to the position of the office. Fear to whom fear. God has placed his relationship with us above everything else. In this passage, he has given his people their priority. and the priority is the dictates of conscience. That's the Holy Spirit, folks. That's what he leads us to do. That's what he is to tell. That's what he's going to tell us to do. Scripture has to be our linchpin, and of course the Word of God is Scripture, and so this passage actually addresses the possibility that we might have a tyrannical leader or a tyrannical government. And right now, many governmental leaders have become tyrants. And if you watch any news at all, you see what some of them are doing. So here we are. We have God's Word. We have the Holy Spirit. And that's all we need to go ahead and do what God wants us to do as individuals. You've come this morning. We thank you. I trust that God will bless you for being here. I've been blessed this morning just by your presence. I'm looking forward in the days to come of what God is going to do with this ministry. I believe we're right on the threshold, folks. I believe we're right on the threshold of seeing some fantastic work on God's part. Not for us, but for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you for coming out this morning. Thank you for being faithful to your Savior. Father, thank you for bringing each one. Thank you that we can meet together here around your word. We can look at your word. We can see what your word is telling us. And Father, there are things that we cannot do without your help. One is we are to be, as Jesus told us, wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Give us wisdom, Father, to do your will in your way. And then, Father, we are to place you first ahead of everything else. And Father, may that always be your place here in this ministry and in this church. Thank you for each one you brought out this morning. Reach out to the rest of our church family. Let them know that you're back in business here. And Father, use us to do your will in your way and your time. And we will praise you, for we cannot do it, we are weak. But we will praise you for what you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.